Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. And today I am just so thrilled to introduce my very special guest. But before I do that, I just want to tell you about my brand new book. My green screen wasn't working. But anyway, it's called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. And it's out on Amazon, along with my second book, Real Talk, which we will talk about today with my guest, and my other book. So I am the proud author of three books. I am so excited. It's been a long time coming. And now I will tell you the story about my second book and the person who's our guest today who helped me write that one. And so it's kind of a crazy story how I met Lynn. I was having a tarot card reading, and in the reading, I was telling this reader, tarot card reader, about all the things I'm doing, and I didn't know what to do, and you know, and could she guide me? And so she was like, "Well, what's coming to me?" And she was channeling, folks. She said, "What's coming to me is that you need to go to this website, lynnelioff.com. I've been seeing Lynn, and it must be because you were going to have a reading today." And she was just like, "You know, I've checked out her site, and I just love what she's doing. And it's something with a book, and you should go there." So I went to the website, and I clicked on everything there was to click. And I was like, "Wow, this sounds awesome." And I scheduled a call with Lynn, and it was all about book to business and getting your business out there. And so the next thing I knew, I was talking to Lynn, and she was amazing, and signing up for her program. So I am grateful to Lynn, and I'm a crier, so this is not new. And then my nose will run for the rest of the interview. But anyway, I am so blessed to have met Lynn. She is so special. She is so empowering to the women that she works with. And we're going to tell you more about her. She's got one of her books is The Book to Business Blueprint, and another one is Gutsy Glorious Life Coach. And her quote is, "A woman who owns a business, she owns her life." And so Lynn, anyway, we're going to talk more about who Lynn is and where she came from. But just, you know, welcome, Lynn. Thank you so much for being with me here today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me, Hillary. Don't you start making me cry now. Oh my goodness. That story about you with the tarot card lady is that just blows my mind. A way for us to meet. That's crazy. Yeah.
I know. It's like, who, you know, like, yeah. Who is that telling me to go to you? Right. And what, that's like beyond us. So congratulations for being in the outer echelons of whatever that is. Right?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh,
yeah. Crazy. Thank you. So I know, Lynn, that you have a passion for helping women, you know, get their own businesses going. And would you like, I know you were a lawyer before. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about how you started your business?
Yes. Yeah, so I, so my first career, when I became an adult was in television news. So I started in journalism, and I was a news reporter, worked my way up to news anchor, had an amazing career, always wanted to go to law school, but my career was doing so well. It wasn't like I was going to quit that. And an opportunity came for my husband to take a job in the States. We were living in Toronto at the time, and I was pregnant with my fourth child. And so we moved and we went to the States. I had my fourth child there or here now. And I didn't want to go back into television. Everybody was saying, are you can get a job at the television station where you're moving. And I'm like, oh. And you know why, Hillary? I didn't want to work for anybody. I didn't want anyone telling me when I had to show up, how much time I had to spend at the studio, all of that. I was a mom, and I had a new baby. And I honestly, my gut reaction was no. So I did the next logical thing, which was to apply to law school
with four kids,
with four
wow.
kids. And I applied to one law school. Why? Because this is like the tarot card lady story. This law school was down the street, one town
Wow.
over. I thought, I
Wow.
said to my husband, I'm going to apply here because I've always wanted to. Harvard was like 2 hours away. Not that I would have gotten in, but it was like it's meant to be. So I did. I got into law school. I did the night program. And then when I got out of law school, I was like, okay, I don't want to go work in some big law firm and 80 hours a week and billable hours being checked all the time. So I took I'm shortening this story, but I went online. I thought, I want to work for myself. Like, how could I do that? And at the time, virtual law practices were unheard of. I mean, who does that? This was back, this was like more than 10 years ago, 12 years ago. So that's what I wanted to do. And I remember thinking at the time, what kind of lawyer does that? And I had a coach who said to me, well, you're just going to have to figure out a new way to be a lawyer. And I'm like, what does that mean? And so it took me 3 years, but I figured it out. I figured out how I was going to show up in the world as someone who used to be in television news and now is, and who went to law school and loved every minute of it. I mean, who says that? Who says they love law school? Unless,
Right.
you go back as an adult and it's on your terms. And so I think that's the lesson, like living your life on your terms makes your life enjoyable. It's really fun to do it your way. But then we have all those, gremlins in our mind that says, no, you can't do that. And you're not supposed to do that. And what kind of woman starts her own business online? And finally, I got the answer. I found the answer. Me.
Right, wow.
Me. So that's how I ended up online. And then eventually, over the years, I created, because so many people were asking me, how do you write that book? Can you show me how to write a book? And now eventually, I now have a business called Book to Business. And I help coaches like you write books to put themselves out into the world and let people know who they are and what they do without having to feel like you're, clawing
Wait,
after people.
can you go back a sec? So you, what year was it that you started your virtual law practice?
That would have been
About.
back in 2010,
Okay.
nine
So the
or 10.
internet was out, right?
Yeah,
Okay.
right. And
And then.
people were saying there were so many people online and they were not protecting their personal assets. I kept telling coaches, you have to do this, you have to do that. And they were like, wait, what? And I can't afford a lawyer. So I created what eventually became known as a DIY legal toolkit. And the tagline was is still created by a lawyer so you don't have to hire one. And that's how I started. I found this little a hole in the market where people needed legal coverage. They needed to get their legal ducks in a row, but they didn't want to hire a lawyer. So I created this toolkit of all the things that you could do yourself.
And
And
then
that
you sold that?
I sold that product and I still sell that product. It's still out
Wow.
there.
Wow.
And
Okay.
that's kind of
So
how I got started. That was
that
my
was your
first.
first book.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. And that's the book then when people said, how did you write that book? That, or was it
Right.
a different book?
Well, that's the Gutsy Glorious Life Coach book, which was
Okay.
really, I wrote that because I thought I'm just going to write this book and give it to my clients as a gift because I was teaching, how to build a business online, including all the legal steps. So I created that. I was going to give it to my clients as a gift And then, then I started getting emails from people saying, "I just read your book on Amazon. Can you help me build, do da 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 da?" And I'm like, "Wait, what?" And so that's how this whole book thing started, where, my
Wow.
goodness, a book is like the best asset for a business, a coaching business, a consulting business, a legal business. It really, what that's what opened my eyes to it. And eventually coaches started asking me how they could write a book. And there we are. And that
Okay,
got me
so
to meet you.
yeah, so okay, so when you wrote the DIY Legal Toolkit, you were still working as a lawyer, right? Or had you kind of morphed into a
Yes, I
coach?
was, because I was actually creating contracts for people. I was writing their website documents, their privacy policy, their terms of use, disclaimers, all that stuff. I was doing that, getting their businesses covered. I was consulting, like making sure that, the website's called coveryourassetsonline.com. So I was making sure everybody's assets were covered.
Wow.
Then I got more into coaching, because there were all the, this all the other parts of the business that needed to be set up.
Wow. So that was that. Did you like the legal part of it? Like, did you love
So,
the contracts and stuff?
no.
Just, I'm just curious.
No,
No.
I didn't love that part. I love the part about being a lawyer that I loved was connecting with people. And at first, like, there was a stint where I was helping people who either were in trouble with the law, or they were in, personal injury, and like they found themselves in a mess, and I would want to sit down and say, "How did you, and why did you, and how can we never let this happen again?" So it was always the personal conversations that I love to have. So that's how I went into becoming a coach. And now, as I help women build businesses, it's not, it, yes, it's about business, but it's also deeply personal. It's like, this matters. This is important. And I do believe when a woman owns a business, she owns her life. As long as the business doesn't own her, she owns her life. She owns her time, her money, her bank account, her decision-making power. All of that comes with owning a business. So that really is what gets me up in the morning, Hillary, and helping women build their businesses in a way that not only makes them money, but makes them happy. That's key.
Now, how a lot of people start businesses. I know I've started them many times, but didn't necessarily attract the clients that obviously you did. What would you say was your secret to attracting all those clients that bought, that like how did you do that? Because I think that's not everybody is successful like you. What do you think your secret is?
It's not a secret, and unfortunately, I think it's off. It's the most overlooked step in building a business. Like I always say, this all the things that we do, and I was one of them. Like the first 3 years, I did it all wrong because I was missing the first step. So I learned how to do webinars. I learned how to do Facebook groups. I learned all to do all that stuff that they market online, but I didn't have that very first step, which is, what is it that you can bring to your audience that they haven't heard before, seen before, or that they haven't heard it quite like that before? So in this instance, at the very beginning, I noticed that people didn't even realize they had a problem, like that they weren't covering their assets online. So I had to say to them, you can't keep your head in the sand. So basically, it was like a message. You may think that you're okay because your business is too small, but the people that are out there trying to take advantage and make money on the internet, they're looking for people just like you, who think that no one will ever pick on you, that no one will ever find you. And they did find, and that happened, Hillary. I had people coming to me who said, "Lynn, I just got a letter that says I owe $10,000 for the improper use of an image that I got off of Google. I thought it was free if it was on Google." And I'm like, "No, That is copyright infringement. You can't do that. And it was, and there were people whose job it was to go out and find innocent business owners who
Wow.
had those images on their website. I mean, I have stories like, a doctor who set up his online business, actually an acupuncturist, he invested $30,000, set up this beautiful website and everything online. And as soon as he went live, he got a cease and desist order because the name of his website was already trademarked and he had never checked it out. And they had to shut that thing down.
Whoa.
Thirty
So
thousand.
how did those people find you to know that that's what you did?
So I think with I'm not an expert with Google search by any means, but you can search for an image and see who's using it, and then see if it's being used
Right,
improperly.
no. But I mean, how did they find you that you, because you had cover your assets, like how did you find those clients that needed you? Or did you go finding them and say, hey, I can help you? Like, how did it evolve?
So I think initially it was me going out and talking in groups or people and other coaches, and I would say, "But do you have those three essential legal docs on your website? You don't. You need them." I was on podcast. I did a lot of podcasts.
Okay.
So yeah, I was
So
out
they heard
there.
you saying
They
it and they
heard me.
said,
I
I
was
need her.
talking about
Yeah.
it. They, I
Okay.
was all my message was, "You think you're protected, but you're not. Don't think that you're protected just because you're too small. Because you may be a small business, but if they find somebody with money, they will come after you. Just they'll find a way." So I know that sounds so cynical, but we need to be aware as business owners what we need to do. And just because it's the internet doesn't mean the rules are any different, is insofar as we need to protect ourselves. So that's how that started.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so then you did your toolkit, and people were asking you, how can you help me? And then gradually, did you move out of the legal and just
So I
work
still
with it?
have that, and it's there still, like, 'cause there are people online. So, but I have expanded my business to work with coaches because I love helping them build businesses. Like, that is fun and exciting for me. And while I'm doing that, I will also, nudge them and say, "Hey, are you protected? Have you covered your assets? Do you
Okay.
have an LLC? Because if you're just a sole prop, you're exposed." That kind of thing.
Okay, cool. All right. So where should we go now? So when I started working with Lynn, I didn't even know what I was going to do or what I wanted to do. I just knew that, Lynn was saying, hey, write a book and that's the ticket into your business, right? But she, in her process, helped me to come, and I wish I could show the book because I'm going to try to put the green
I'll
screen
do
back
it.
on.
I've got
Oh,
it.
okay. All right. So
Here it
there's my
is.
book.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's Real Talk. And all right, I can
Real
read the.
talk. How to say the things you've never said so you can have the things you've always wanted. I
Right.
loved it.
And we came up with that because of a story, couple stories that I told Lynn about when I was a, well, prior to Lynn, I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony who just tried to be liked and wouldn't speak up. I didn't want people, I think the most important things to me was people not getting upset with me and liking me, which wasn't conducive to starting a business at all. But by telling those stories, Lynn got to show me that that was my message, real talk. And I also have Getting Real with Hillary, which was putting at stake my real self instead of being a people pleaser and learning how to speak up and putting that real self out here, in the form of YouTubes and now TikToks and now with the show, it's really having people talk about what people don't talk about, because that's the way I think to get free, to have the life that you really want instead of the one that you think you might be stuck with. Would you agree with that, Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, I remember our first real conversation when we were about to dig into the book is that your secret sauce, your the thing that you were so good at was your ability to listen. Isn't that crazy? Like, all you have to do is listen, and that is a superpower that you have. It's not just listening or hearing, but it's active listening. Like, you are there, you're holding a space for people who are then feel free to talk about things that they've never felt safe to talk about. It's like, oh, I can't say that, or I can't admit that, or I'm not supposed to think like that, or oh my God, all these horrible things will happen to me if I ever reveal what's really going on in my head. And how cathartic it would be, you were telling me, when people could let that out, and how it first happened to you with your friends, right? All of a sudden you just kind of let it all out that life was a mess and bad things were happening, and all they did was listen. And you were like, wow. They didn't tell me they weren't going to be my friend anymore or anything like that. And so that took you down that journey of self-discovery. And it was as simple as talking, getting people to talk, and then having someone to hold that space and listen. And so, we went from there, and the book is based on your superpower, your ability to do that for people. I just think that I think that's amazing that you could do that.
Thank you. I mean, I forget that that's what I can do, because, or that it's even unique because I'm used to it. But I forget that there was a time when I didn't speak up either, and I didn't, I it didn't even occur to me to say, those things kind of came out by accident the first time, couple times. And then when I saw, like, oh, my life has now changed. Because instead of believing my thoughts as true, I could question them, like in the getting real process. Once I said them, I could look at them and kind of see, well, maybe this is true, maybe it's not. Maybe the problems in my marriage, I thought they were all my fault. Maybe they're not. And then I could start taking new actions instead of staying stuck. And that's, I think, how the getting real process was born, by accident, by me. When I was having financial problems, and then I thought this was as good as it was getting. And then one day I went and opened my own bank account and put money in my savings. And it was like, that was like, I had all these things. I can't. It's dishonest. I need to be a real partner. All these rules that prevented me until I said them out loud. And then I realized, you know what? I could do it. And that changed my life, changed my finances. So, yeah, thank you for reminding me.
So all we did when we had that initial conversation is you walked me through that process, and I said, can you do that for someone else? Can you get them to first talk and then listen and then hear what they're saying and question what they're saying? And so, and that became the framework for your book, and your that's how you coach people from being stuck and then to being free. And that's the unique part of how you do it. And I think for some people, that may not be for everyone, but it's going to be for people who just want to be heard. Right? And they maybe don't even realize what that burden is to hold it in. But if once they start talking, Hillary, I imagine the floodgates open and it all comes out, and how cathartic that could be.
And I think I'm just thinking, because I didn't know that that's what I wanted, that these people may not know that
No.
that's what they want.
But they do know that they're in pain. They do know that there's something like you think that. What were some of the things that you were saying earlier that you were supposed to not speak up, or you felt guilty if you took up space, right?
I didn't want anyone to get upset.
Right. People
So it,
pleasing.
but so yeah, so if someone said something that I didn't like, I would just internalize it and be upset, but never say, "Hey, don't talk to me that way," or "Why would you say that?" or anything. Even when I started working with you, I was afraid to say, "Hey, like I didn't get the email, or I don't know where to go because I wanted you to like me." And it was just like this whole thing that for me, it takes away my power. Like if I'm supposed to do something, but I can't figure out how, and I'm afraid to speak up, then I don't get very far. So I had to learn, just like other people, how to say, can you just help me with that? Can someone just help me with this? Instead of being afraid, I was always afraid of I was going to be high maintenance, so I wouldn't speak up. I didn't want to be seen as a complainer. I didn't want to be seen as someone who was negative. I didn't, so I had this pretend personality that was totally not real. It wasn't real at all, because inside I was like bad mouthing everyone. Well, look at her. She won't help me, instead of just asking for help.
Because
So,
it's how you were conditioned and trained to think, and it's how you saw yourself. That's what you were supposed to be like. And so I always say when women come through my program, we smash a lot of that stuff too. It's like it's like Hillary, what do you need to say? Say it. Because that's your responsibility. Your responsibility is to say it. And I believe my responsibility is to not just shut you down or throw you off like some people will try to do. It's like I'm here to show up too. I can do the I can hear you. I can disagree with you. I'm not afraid to do any of that. And I think that when two people show up, each being responsible for their half of the relationship and their emotions, instead of saying, "Well, it's your fault that I feel this way. I'm offended that you did this thing." When we can recognize that I have my responsibility to show up as a person who takes charge of her own thoughts and feelings, and I expect you to do the same. Like those relationships are gold. They're amazing.
And we, and so it wasn't just writing the book, it was confronting my stuff in order to get through your process. Things that I guess it's just a natural part of the process, they come in the way, especially writing a book. You have these thoughts, well, who's going to read this, and who am I, all the stuff that you were saying before, and it's all part of it. And you were just a wonderful space to be able to be however we were, and I'm sure it's not fun for you sometimes, but when we think it is you or whatever. But you were such a great space to just allow me to be and to get through that. And it wasn't always fun, but your structure is such that we can get through it. You go through the discomfort and get to the other side and have a book, it was almost, it wasn't effortless, but I didn't have to figure out the process of it. People say now, well, how did you write those books? And I'm like, well, the second one I wrote, what was like 6 weeks or something. It just was incredible. My first one took me 7 years because I was figuring it out myself, and I didn't have to figure this one out because you have the process. So amazing.
But in all fairness, and to give credit where it's due, Hillary, I mean, you're a fighter and you recognize something in yourself on so many levels, first in your marriage and then as a businesswoman and then as a writer and an author. You're obviously so dedicated to your own personal growth, right? Like you don't want to stay here. You want to be evolving as a human being. And I think when similar humans like that get together, they can be very supportive, even when they disagree, which I think is quite a gift to give.
Yeah, thank you. And that I am committed to all people being free. And so I like to say I use myself as the human guinea pig to keep going, whenever I find myself stuck, to get through to the next space and then share it so other people can learn from it. So
Oh yeah, because I am sure that, that first story that I say that you told in the book, I know that there were women who were like, "Oh my gosh, her too, or it's not just me, or I have a similar story." And if not for women like you who are willing to come up and say, "Hey, real talk here. This is what happens. And it's not just me. I know you guys are hiding something." And I know you've heard that. I'm sure people are, women in particular, are so happy to have had the permission to open up and talk about it.
Yeah. And it's not without discomfort for me. It's a little embarrassing when I think I'm the only one, but then, like you say, everyone else is like, "Oh, I get it. I was there, or something," and it's like, "Oh, wow, okay, thanks." So anyway, all right, let's go to our commercial break, and when we come back, we'll have more real talk with Lynn Elioff.
Has social emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to RealTalkWithHillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
So thank you to our sponsor, Kikori. That was my daughter's voice. As Doug says, I always have to mention that that's her company. I mean, she doesn't own the
Awesome.
company. She works for the company. Yeah, it's a great company for social
Wonderful.
emotional learning. And that was my brand new commercial. What did you think, Lynn?
I love that. I love it. And I love that you're promoting yourself. Like it's just spot on, the branding and the message. And you're the real deal, Hillary. You really are.
Oh, Thanks, Lynn.
Welcome. You're welcome.
So, yeah, so Lynn's daughter helped me with that website. She their program, I mean, they just know what they're doing. And even when I was putting out my book, Real Talk, the one that I did in Lynn's program, they helped me with the book launch. And I became a bestseller that week, thanks to Lynn and the pieces that they did for me. And I took it on like I've never taken it. Well, I
You
probably have,
did.
but for that week, I just told everybody, I passed out these little cards in the gym and said, please buy my book. And, it was just a thrill to become a bestseller, on Amazon for that week. And it was something that, it was a dream. So thank you for that as well. I want to get the message out more. I want to help more people. What do you think about that, Lynn? What I know
So
you're an expert in that. But it's
I
for me, it's
really
like, what do I do now?
so I think that when we start to think about sales and marketing, we freeze up because first we think, I don't know the first thing about it. Then we start to think, well, like all the self-doubt comes up, right? I don't know how to do that. And what will people think of me? And then, oh, it feels like I'm asking for money and I feel like a used car salesman and all that stuff comes
And who's
up.
going to listen to me? That's mine.
And
Who's
who's
going to
going to
listen to
listen to
me?
me? I have nothing to say. And so I think part of this process of owning your own business and owning your life is to own your place in this world so that it really does become about what you want and then how you're going to accomplish it. So, Hillary, it seems to me, based on what I know about you, is that you really want to help people overcome whatever it is however they may talk about what they perceive their problem to be. And I think that the best way to do that is to start conversations. And we've talked about this too, right? It's not like, hey, I have this program. Do you want to buy it? I have this book. Do you want to buy it? But it's more like, have you ever had that feeling where you feel like you want everybody's approval and yet you're not going to get it? So you hold yourself back and then you're miserable, but you pretend you're not. And then you feel like a phony. And then you've got all that self-doubt that comes up. And then we put it in a bottle, put the cap on, and then we're done. Have you ever felt like that? Well, I help women who are struggling with that. To get that out of the way and start living their life. And in fact, I wrote a book about it. Can I offer you a copy? Did that sound like a sales pitch? It's a conversation, right? And so that's what I, and then we've talked about you doing this, but that's really what it is. And why? Because it's genuine. Like I would just change a few words, but that's how I am. When I'm talking about when if I'm marketing my business, it sounds like this. Have you ever tried to build a business and you've tried all these things and you don't know where to start? And then somebody comes along and they say, here, buy this program. No, here, buy this program. So then I've spent all this money and I still don't have a business. And I'm wondering what the heck to do. And I feel like I'm 3 feet from gold, but I never actually get there. And I don't want to spend any more money. Well, I help women who are in exactly that spot. And in fact, I wrote a book about it. It's called Book to Business. Can I send you a copy? Not come in my program, but coming from that place of genuinely wanting to help. Who can argue with that?
So how do you start the conversation? Like how you're just talking to someone and like how does it come up in conversation? I think that's one of my biggest stops is like you
Hillary, what if
say,
you,
I put it in the bottle and I think about it and then it's like, rather than fail or have to learn or be bad at that, I just don't,
So I think you want to
but
look for,
I know when you do it, it's very natural. I didn't feel like you were selling me, like it was so natural that And I think part of the problem is thinking about it isn't it. You actually have to do it.
Right. So
you can't think about it correctly. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
If you're in a line at Starbucks and you run into somebody and they say, Hillary, how you doing? What have you been up to? Well, oh, I just wrote a book. What is the next thing they're going to say? You did? What's it about? How did you do that? I didn't know you could write. Oh, yes. I wrote about how, you know how some people struggle to talk and they don't feel like they have a voice or they struggle with approval and all of that. Well, that's what my book is about. Happy to send you a copy. And the conversation starts. It really is just looking for opportunities to talk about what you're doing and not apologizing for it, because that's what a conversation is, right? How are you doing? How am I doing? Like, people talk. So it starts like that. One of the coaches in our program, you know her, Christine, she was just talking about, I think she was in a salon, or I don't know where she was, very casually mentioned that she had written a book, and somebody overheard her and said, oh, can you hear that? That is a very strange sound.
No, we can't hear.
Somebody said to her, you're writing a book about that? That's because she's a nurse. So it was in, I think she was in a medical area where they were just, it was natural for her to talk about, which I'm writing a book about this. It's called the Self-Compassion Protocol. And they said, we need you to come and talk at our place about this. She didn't go and look and ask for, but she was just talking about what she did because she was passionate about it. And I think if we just talk about it in conversation, you know, sometimes we just make conversation and it doesn't really have any meaning. So make it meaningful. Hey, guess what? I just wrote a book. Can I talk to you about it? What if people aren't going to say no? And if you know that that person isn't really interested in that topic, you're going to just casually, yeah, I wrote a book. If you know anybody that struggles with approval or feel like speaking up, I'd be happy to send you a copy. You could pass it on. That's it. So it's like, well, you don't want it to be like, oh, well, that's not an ideal client, or nobody, that person wouldn't want to hear about my book or what I'm doing. So you reframe it like, here's what I'm doing. I know this wouldn't be for you, but maybe you know somebody that would, you know, be interested in this, somebody at work, in your family. And oftentimes they'll say, oh my goodness, yes, I have a niece that struggles with that. Or there's a coworker who's always saying she wishes she could speak up, but then she freezes up. So honestly, it really is just about talking about what you do. It's real talk, Hillary.
I know. And I think, you know, like we were talking about, what's in the way is, you know, I don't want people to think I'm trying to fix them. I don't want, you know, someone to become more victimized because someone gets on the book. And other people, you know, are like, oh, it's self-help, you know. And I'm like, you know what? It's not self-help. It's self-development. That's what I'm calling it, is self-development, because it is about developing yourself. It's not about you need help, that you're helpless. It's that. It's to develop you to have more power and more of what you want.
Yeah. And I think too, that it's like being like really being bulletproof when it comes to comments that where people want to say things like, oh, that's self-help or that's self-development or whatever, you know? And I don't react to that anymore. I'm likely to say something like, and your point right. is, you know, like it's not a useful comment. So why would we want to be afraid of that? I think people are more afraid of than they appear to be. So, because there's two kinds of people, right? Somebody who stays quiet, and then somebody who just kind of bulldozes their way through. So you'll think that you know they're not hurting inside, and they usually are. Yeah.
Yeah, so I like you. I mean, you are so good at coming up with the phrases. You know, like that's where I'm like, you know, talk about your book. I go like blank. Well, you know, I could read the title, but it's like my brain goes blank. So I think it's like if I knew, yeah, it's for people who don't speak up or they struggle with approval and, you know, and they're
Yeah.
struggling. It's people who
Or
are struggling.
it could be, yeah, here's my book, and then you go to the first line of the introduction and you tell them what it says. Can I read it?
Sure.
The pain rose to the surface like an unstoppable tide. I began sobbing so hard that the hairdresser's chair shook. Debbie, who hadn't even touched my hair yet, looked at me aghast. Don't worry, I can fix those roots. It's not my hair, it's my husband. He won't have sex with me. Okay, I have to read the rest of this book. It's just, and I get it that that's maybe a provocative way, but it's the truth, right? We want people, we don't want to be we want to write a book that people want to read. So, you know, somebody could say, oh, Hillary, why did you have to start with that? Because it's true.
Or why did
And
you admit it? It's your fault, you know, like that's what I think. It was my fault, you
what
know,
was your
like,
fault? Oh, the
yeah, that's what I originally thought before I
right.
blurted it out, you
Yeah,
know,
right.
was that, you know, well, if you admit that, you know, your husband doesn't want sex with you, it's because you're undesirable. I think that's why people would never speak up,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Who's, it's like shameful.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot of why people don't speak up, which is what the book's about, is we think it's shameful what's in our head that we think, but when we can actually say it, we can get free.
Absolutely.
You know,
And I
me
think that
hiding from even that first paragraph, like, I didn't write that. Someone wrote it for me. You know, it's like, duh, it was my life. But, you know, like it still is a little shameful for me to admit, even though it was true.
or you
Yeah.
or the flip side is what kind of husband doesn't want to, I mean, we could throw
Right.
judgment in any direction we want, but the
Right.
reality is that it was a situation that was painful for you, and how were you going to fix it? I mean, shame is never
Never
useful, and I
useful in
think
the
that when you tell the truth, shame just kind of slinks away. It's like, hey, it
Yes.
is what it is. It was what it was. And so, no
Yeah.
apologies, Hillary.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying like
Yeah.
that by even just saying that,
Yeah.
it gets me free from it. And that
Right.
really is the process. I hadn't really said, no, I'm a little embarrassed about that first paragraph. But now that I've said it, I can own it because I've gotten it out of my head and out here where I can go, hey, like we just had a conversation about it, which then creates freedom for me.
And
And the shame
also
can go
imagine
away, you
if
know?
somebody else is struggling and they're wondering whether you can help them or not, that first paragraph is proof that you walk the talk. You walk the real talk. You don't just, you know, this isn't just some crazy, you know, idea, but it is something that you have lived and you know, and you're a work in progress like all of us. So, I'm
Right.
just so proud of this book. I think you did good, girl.
Thank you. Well, and you know, the other thing about the superpower, which you were talking about, which is the listening, is that I don't judge them. Like it is a safe space for them because I don't judge because I was there. And
Right.
I've probably been through a lot of, I've done a lot of stupid things. I have a great life, but I've done things that didn't necessarily work, but I won't judge them for whatever they might say and think they can't.
Yeah. I think the more we evolve and grow as women or men, these human beings, the less we're willing to tolerate other people's judgment. We're just, you know, it's like I don't know. I'm not interested. And it just can't hit us. It can't really land. It kind of starts to bounce off. Oh, of course that's what they're going to say.
Right.
That's who they are, right? That judgment says more about them than it does about you. So
yeah,
we carry on.
And do you think that's a function of age, or do you think, because it's like when you think, oh, what are they going to think? It's like, who is even the they? There's no person.
Right.
It's just some fear of something that doesn't even exist. But I think once you can say it out loud, it can, oh, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it's when it's in here. Sorry, you can't even see my pen. When it's in here, it seems true.
I think that, I mean, it's a good question. Is it a function of age? I think event, I think if we were trained to, you know, like, you know, how we grew up would be different from how our daughters grew up. True. And how we, so I don't think our daughters are that way. I don't think it would take them nearly as long to figure out as it took us to figure it out. But I do think that there is something about age, and maybe it's 40 for you or me or somebody else, 45 or 50, but there comes a time, hopefully, when you say, what the heck? What gives? Is this all there is? And then the wheels start turning and we start to think for ourselves. Whereas up until that point, we've been thinking the way we were trained to think. And so I'm a different kind of mother than how my mother was and how her mother was before her. I sort of, and I suspect you are too, Hillary, where you instill a whole other way of being a woman that was so different from how you were raised and how I was raised. It's totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I think what, I mean, just my third title, Your Bullshit Is Your Blessing. My mother was like, you can't, you just can't, you know, she was horrified. And there were people of a certain age that were like, you can't do, like, that was like beyond what they could have imagined. And
yeah,
people my age are like, yeah, I love it, love it. So yeah, I think you're right. The different ages are different. But anyway, so we have just a few minutes left, Lynn. What would you like to leave the people with before we close out? And I do appreciate you being here. It's a gift to me, and you're brilliant and wonderful and beautiful and talented and all those things, and really have made a huge difference for my life. So
I think what I would like to leave people with is some insight into what Hillary is really like. And yes, she can cry, and yes, she can, you know, no bullshit and all that. But I've seen her behind the scenes, and I've seen the vulnerable side and the strong side. And I really believe that, Hillary, you are someone who, if someone came to you and said, can you help me? You would genuinely be able to help them. Not because you want to build your business or anything like that, although that is something that we want to do, but because you do come from a very generous and genuine place of wanting to be someone who can change someone else's life in the way yours was changed. And I think that when women, and the more women that are like that, and the more women who support other women can do that, I think the world, you know, starts to change. Shifts start to happen. Trust and honesty and forgiveness and kicking shame in the ass, all that stuff starts to happen. So if anyone is even remotely thinking about working with you, or at least checking you out and having a conversation with you, I think they should. They'd be missing out if they didn't.
Thank you, Lynn.
That's what I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you, please. Hillary.
Yes.
Hillary, thank you for the opportunity of being able to work with you, coach you, teach you, learn from you. It really has been a wonderful experience for me. So thank you.
Thank you. And so to find Lynn, where would they find that? You can go to my site, which is realtalkwithhillary.com. and check out my book and the quiz and all that. And where would they find you, Lynn? What's the best place?
So you'll find me at lynnelioff.com. That's hard to spell. So you could go to gutsygloriousliving.com. It'll take you to the same place. It's just easier to spell.
Gutsygloriousliving.com. All right. Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary. Keep talking.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show. We hope you are entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.